Blessed be thy holy name, Heavenly Father, for this another wonderful day. Oh, each and every day, Father, our hearts desire and long for thy return, the return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace even today that we could gather in this place to come fellowship, Lord. Prayerfully, that will be in the heart of every one of us through fellowship in love and in thy word and to worship you. And we pray that our heart truly, O Lord, worship thee because we love thee. Not because we are compelled by some commandment, Lord, to come here, but that thy spirit, O Lord, move within us and you stir in us, O Lord, in our heart that desire, that love to know you. And that King David would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so we are here today, Father. Appointed time granted to us every first day of the week that we could gather ourselves together to fellowship, worship, and most of all, to hear thy word. Now, Father, we come under your feet to learn of you. Let everything, O Lord, that be spoken, Father, be spoken by the anointing of thy Spirit, O Lord, in the heart that will receive, Father. And so I pray, Father, you anoint the hearing and the speaking of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are still on our series on My Father's House. All right, so let us go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. He also has lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. I always remember this word Zion. A chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believe on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And as a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, an important verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So now we come to this section where we talk about the Father's house, and the Father began to build his house. And I already said this, that it was just that the building of the Father's house begin with a stone. It has to have a cornerstone laid. Every time the builder builds a house, there must be the cornerstone. That will be the stone where the mansion, the size of the home will be measured. And how that also, with the plumb line, they use that cornerstone to measure the right angle and the right distance, and also how precise the building will be. And so when God built a building, he is building it really make it really fine, a fine building. So when the cornerstone was there, that cornerstone was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we read here, Peter is comparing Christ being the chief cornerstone as like we are also stones. And it is not just an audience, so we are lively stone, we are living stone, we are alive. Now remember this, all that which you see in the scripture, what we are talking about regarding the Father's home, house, we are picking up allegory, we are picking up how the Bible describes and give us, painting a picture for us to really understand. Alright, because a lot of time to tell a truth, God, even Peter, even Paul, even Jesus, they would use pictures. They would use types and shadow. They would use natural things to depict the spiritual thing. So if we don't see it, then it's very hard for us therefore to say that we are Christian. Because after all, if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we should be able to understand what the Spirit is telling us. Alright. So now, as Peter is saying that, he's writing this letter to people who are actually Gentile converts too. The proselyte and those who are wayward, that now became chosen one by God. And now we also understand when he is saying that when once you are young, when you are a new convert, you are a babe. And as babe, you desire milk. You cannot take solid. So but now he continues to say that in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed, they're referring to Christ. But verse 25, verse 5, you also has lively stone, are built up a spiritual house. Now, God is not just building a literal house, he's building a spiritual house. Now that should be understood. Okay. And holy priesthood. Now, think for a moment that Peter likened us to lively stone, and yet we are a royal priesthood. That makes every one of us a priest. Not literally, but spiritually. For what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what priest does. They offer up sacrifices. But we are a royal priesthood. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, not the literal sacrifices of lamb or heifer, or bulls, or goats, or dove. Is that right? So we are a holy priesthood that we should always offer up sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices of praise, and also ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, remember this, you know what it said, but what we are seeing lately in the paper regarding one of those who were charged for misappropriating the fund in the church, and he tried to, you know, get out of Singapore. Now, that's what we see. I'm not asking the question right now, not about him, but about people who call themselves Christian. The question is, are they born again? Now the two words born again is has been taken out of the scripture as and even used by politicians, by pop stars and by movie stars, you know what I mean? The word born again. You see. And we know when I was young and I studied biology regarding the caterpillar that turned into butterfly, right? What do we call them? What do we call those stages? There's a word everybody should know. Metamorphosis. Right? Correct? Yeah. But even songs were written. Bullfrogs and butterflies, we both have been born again. Well, that is true because you change things. You change from one stage to another. You call that born again. So the caterpillar have been born again into a butterfly. Yeah, that's wonderful. A complete change. It's no longer a butterfly. It's no longer a caterpillar. But the question is, a Christian, people say, I'm born again. Are you really born again? That's the question.
Now we're coming here to the seriousness of the Bible because there are a lot of people that claim they are born again. Right? You know, this well-known Catholic nun called Sister Teresa, right? I mean, I admire her, you know. She gave her life to work out among those in Calcutta. You know, among those poor and all that. That's really something. But yet, in her last day, she even said that she didn't even know whether she's born again or that she's going to hell. If you don't have the revelation of whether you are born again or not, something is very, very wrong. And I know the Christian said, I want you to know that I'm born again. This is good. Simple test. Using the scripture, unto what were you baptized? Unto what were you baptized? Well, I just go to that church and they baptize me this way. Maybe sprinkling water or pouring water. And what name were you baptized in? The Bible tells us that Jesus said, when he prayed the Father for the Holy Spirit to be given to you and me, he said, when the Holy Spirit is come unto you, he shall guide you and lead you, right? Into all things. Into all truth. And he will bring you things to remembrance and show you things to come. Three things. Things to remember, guide into all truth, and show you things that is to come. I don't care. I don't worry so much about it. I know Jesus is coming. That's a good attitude, they think. And some say, if I'm going to make the rapture, I make the rapture. If I'm not, that's okay. That shows that you're not born again. But I was with the confession of my mouth, right? Yeah, you establish your faith. That is not what the seriousness of the Bible for me, since the day that I could come to know the truth about the Word of God. Because this is what gives eternal life. This is what guides you and prepare you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people say, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. I said, that's very good. But we're not talking about going to heaven. If you are born again, fine. You have eternal life. You are guaranteed eternal life. But the rapture that is coming is a preparation. The question, are you prepared? That's all the people say, oh, I think the all Christians are going to go to heaven. What about the tribulation sin? What the Bible talk about those sins? That Antichrist go and seek them out. The Jews and those foolish virgins, who are they? If all Christians are going to make the rapture because they say they are born again, there's no more mystery. Because we know in the Bible, when Enoch was taken, how many people knew Enoch was taken by God? I guess only his wife and children knew about it. Then only months later, then the reality comes to know about it. What about Elijah? How many people saw Elijah disappear? Elisha saw it. And the sons of the prophet, they knew something is happening, going to happen to Elijah. And when Elijah was taken, Elisha was the only one who saw him go. The same thing is this. When will the Bible talk about a secret? When Jesus Christ even ascended to heaven, how many saw him went up? He brought daylight. How many saw him go? The city of Jerusalem was there. And on the east was Mount Olivet. Right? And it was daylight. How many saw him burn up? If you are out there in the roadside and far away you see a man floating up, you know he's going up. But how come that nobody saw Jesus Christ went up? Except the who? Only the 11 disciples. They saw him went up. Because why? The ascension or the translation
is all a secret. It's all covered up from the eyes of the world. And until it's gone, until something else happened, they realize, oh, it's too late. We didn't make it after all. And the Bible said, watch and pray. Is that right? Watch and pray. How can you watch and how can you pray when you don't watch the Word of God? Watch what? Watch the sky for some angel to blow a trumpet? Watch the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell you? What is to come? How do you prepare yourself? And that's what the Bible is telling us. And that's what Peter said. You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, not just of praise and worship, but your life. Come up and help my people. Well, no, we are not part of this world. We're just passing through. And I always remember Peanut, the comic Peanut comics, you know. Linus. You know Linus, the character that always having a little the security blanket. And whenever he runs, duck follow after him. Pig pen. Huh? So we are passing through this world. Sometimes we get too much of these things of the world and attached to us until we smell bad unto God. So we got to shake those things off. Verse 6 now says, why also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect. He was elected by God, obviously. Precious. And he that believe on him should not be confounded. There are a lot of people who are still confounded by, oh, believe in this chief cornerstone. And then they still struggle in life about their faith. Christ is going to lead us into truth. He is not going to cause us, our mind to be confused. The Bible is, when it's open up and be clear, all you have to do is to accept it and follow through. And you cannot move from A to C when you don't cross B. You cannot jump over B. When you learn, as a child would learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G, they sing the song so they know how it goes by. And we don't jump the alphabet. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. A to Z, I am, that's all of it. In between, it's all of me. So we have to follow from A all the way through to Z. See? So, he that believes in me shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, unto them which be disobedient, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, when Jesus came, they rejected him. These religious people, they're supposed to know the Word of God. They're supposed to know the prophets. Right? Was the prophet not read every Sabbath? Huh? So, the Bible said that the prophet, the voice of the prophet, were read every Sabbath day. In a synagogue, in a temple. And yet, the religious people could not see who this man was. The common people, because they were taught by these religious people, they embraced their traditions of the elders. Till Jesus stood there, they couldn't even recognize him. Now, every Sunday, as Bob would say, that Satan is even worshipped in churches. And I believe that's so true. A preacher come out to the pulpit, take the Bible and read the verse or two and start to preach 40 minutes, 45 minutes, so maybe an hour. But what does it contain? The same old thing. Now I have been to churches and no, it's pretty same old thing I hear. There's no in-depth, nothing, because they don't want to go beyond what the tradition have taught them. And you say, you know, some people wonder about me. How could Brother Gunn go to come to, you know, in his church, he could preach every Sunday. He never run out of ideas. It's not that I don't run out of ideas. I go to the Word, I look into it, I check for something.
You know, there are preachers, you know, like the Philippine. I mind the Filipino people out there, Filipino churches. Those believing churches, they are only a few kilometers within 1 hour. So Pastor A said, Pastor B, please come to my church and preach. Next Sunday, I go to yours. And Pastor B, A said to him, Pastor C, another church, you come next Sunday, I go to yours. He will preach from this church. One Sunday, same message, all go around. Right? Because there are so many. For me, I cannot come here to you and preach the same sermon every Sunday. Am I right? Tell me this. Because I believe that God anoints them, open up the scriptures. If I have no desire to feed you, I won't be looking to the Bible. That's the why, you know, some of you who are trying to give a little sharing, you will understand. To come up here and share an hour of a message, it takes me how many hours to prepare? Think about it. Take how many hours to prepare a 1 hour sermon? For me, I have to constantly look into the Bible, constantly refresh myself, examine, meditate where and what the Lord wants me to talk about. Now, I have preached this message many years ago, but there's always some refreshing thoughts that comes up, some deeper thing to look into. Yeah. So, what did the Bible here now say? Those who stumble, those who are disobedient, those who rejected this stone, those who rejected Christ, it becomes a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, you know, when we preach the truth in this hour, there will always be those that object to what we believe. I mean, not just, even just recently in the Facebook. You know, somehow, as you know, Facebook will just pump you on my cell phone, and ding ding, a notification that somebody talked about you, somebody have a dead timeline on you, or somebody is texting you, or something like that. Ding ding, came along, oh my, somebody was discussing about forum, and I was involved into it. My name was mentioned, and people start criticizing, and they say all kinds of things. So I ignore it. But I came to one place where somebody says certain thing that I have to reply. And I warn him. I say, if you don't know what's going on, if you do not know, don't think you know what you do not know, and just utter out from your mouth words, or put your pen to paper, or your finger tags to Facebook. I said, you don't know about me, you don't know the truth, and you make all these funny remarks. I don't care if you call me a false prophet, a false teacher, or even a devil. But when you twist my word, you stand in judgment. I said, I told them, give you a warning. And some of them, they made a little quiet. They don't put any more. I said that I have even white American big preacher. They said all kinds of things behind my back, pass it all around. But when I came face to face with them, they shut their mouth. Did they even know, open your mouth? When they do, I put a question to them, they were shocked. They couldn't understand. They couldn't answer it. I said, you don't know the word of God, shut up. And I remember reading one article of a minister who who printed it out in a magazine. About, I don't want to mention his name, a well-known preacher from Tucson. Went up there to a convention, and he stood at the pulpit and he said, well, you know, I am not a prophet. I'm only the mouthpiece of the prophet of God. Like Aaron was to Moses, so I was to Brother Branham. I don't have a message. And the brother who wrote the article was sitting in the convention. He said, I feel like getting up and telling him that if you don't have a message, sit down and shut up. That's true, isn't it?
If you don't have a message, then why you stand up and repeat and parrot what another preacher said? So you see how many times when God is building up a church, He is having truth. He's going to refine the architecture of the whole building of His. So there are those that would stumble over Him. Verse 9 says that you are a chosen generation. I mean, not just our generation, but in the days of Peter as well. You are a chosen generation. Every generation they are chosen. Every seven church ages. Every church age. Alright, there are seven. There are always a chosen generation of people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Well, it's not just a holy priesthood, but a royal priesthood. A kingly one, you know. Because of ministering to the king. Right? And holy nation. Now become a holy nation. Not just a holy priesthood, but a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Are we a nation of people? Yeah, we are, right? Whether you're Filipino or Indian, wherever we come from, we are a holy nation with Christ because we are a nation of people under God. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him that call you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people. Once we were not God's people. But now we are. You know, I thank God that in His plan and purpose that He should temporarily blind the eyes of the nation of Israel that He might cross over the border and take the Gentile. You think about it. Which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Do you praise God often? No, only on Sunday. You get up in the morning, did you praise the Lord when you get out of the bed? When you get out of the bed, when you sit on the bed, just say, thank God for today, Lord. Bless this day, another day for me to live. I'll go stand in the window and look into the sky. Praise you, O Father in heaven. Do you? Or you praise God only when sacrifice of praise only when you feel good? Even when you feel bad, because that's a sacrifice of praise. I feel so bad today. I know strength comes to church. But let me go and praise the Lord in the church. You see, I always said about discipline. You know what the disciple is? As I said this, there are many followers. In every religion, there are many followers. There are a lot of followers. Well, we talk about Christianity. There are followers of Peter, there are followers of Paul, followers of Moses, followers of Jesus Christ. But what the Bible is talking about is not followers. But disciples of Christ. There are a lot of people that follow Christ, but they are not disciples of Christ. When you talk about discipleship, you talk about discipline. Many of us are not disciplined. We don't discipline our life when we come to church. You know? You know, the more that I talk about the word of the Lord, Paul, the word of Paul always ring in my ear and also in my heart. That when he preached so strongly with all the rubber he preached, he said he also hoped I himself lest he be an outcast. Right? Isn't it? Right. You see, I need to watch myself. Lest I become a stumbling block, that I become an outcast. Paul said with all the revelation that given, he preached so hard and all this, and yet if he doesn't watch himself, he becomes an outcast. So do we discipline ourselves? Discipline ourselves. And have a little time for prayer? Time to study the Bible a little? Come to church, be on time. Because he's in the church. You know, yesterday, in the morning, I got up in the morning, and I was having my cup of coffee and a piece of bread. And I was sitting there and something came to my mind. And these two things came to my mind was socialism. I mean, not socialism, socialization and fellowship. And then after I had my breakfast, I finished my breakfast and I went to check my mail. And there it was. A sister wrote in, said, Brother God, have you ever talked about socialization and fellowship? The difference between the two? Well, what a coincidence, you might say. And I have time to tell you, well, I told the sister, no, directly. But on and off, I mentioned about it. You are not here to socialize. But many of you are. What's the difference between coming here to socialize and to fellowship? It doesn't look different. No. Does it look any different? Look at all the churches out there, the mega churches. People go there to socialize. How many out of the 10,000 or 20,000 that are there to truly, really fellowship? But what is fellowship? I mean, I'm talking about Christian fellowship. I'm not talking about any other kind of fellowship, huh? People get fellowship around any other thing, but they are all actually socializing. Because when you talk about fellowship, you are here to have fellowship with one another in the love of God. That's what it is. And in the Word of God. One mind, what a cult. Not coming here to socialize. Come here because I have to come. And after the church service is over, bye bye. And you go off. Right? Fellowship is about somebody who needs your little touch of the love of God is in you. And the little word of blessing from you concerning the word. You know, we can sit together and have a cup of coffee or meal. And we can sit down and we can talk about the Lord. We can talk about the word. That's fellowship. But we sit down and talk about what? About fashion? About that fella and that shop and that, you know, your tour and your trip. And that's not fellowship. That's just socializing. No, that's not becoming a fellowship. It's all about the love of God is within us and also about the word. That's what it is. So let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Well, Luke, would you like to read that? Ephesians 5, 18, 19.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, the Lord.
Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Not be filled with wine or gluttony of food. A lot of people get, you know, when you drink wine, you know, you get tipsy. And people do crazy things, actually. And the Bible using this to say that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, you're doing a little crazy thing because you dance before the Lord, you know, you praise the Lord. That's good. And then the next verse says, speaking to yourself in psalm. Now this is general to all. Speaking to yourself, what do you mean by speaking to yourself? It doesn't mean singing to yourself. Huh? Speaking to yourself means among yourself. Encourage. Say good things among yourself. In psalms. In psalms. When we go together, we sing psalms together. If you are going out with a picnic with a brother or sister and then you start singing a song, the brother can just sing along with you. You know, years ago when this crazy music comes on, this these wrappers, you know, the wrap, you got a wrapping, right? Yeah. And you see the black American, especially, they'll carry this boombox on their shoulder. Those days, boombox was something. Today is nothing, right? Like you know, sir, when computer came in, the floppy disk is a big thing. The big one is small one. The smaller one is big thing. But now that is nothing anymore, right? So this guy will get a boombox. You know how the American people are, and they'll go to walk the street. They walk, and then the boom making a lot of noise. And then the people on the roadside, you know, I said they would dance together with them and sing along with them. You know. So that's how spirits are caught into it. People are caught by the spirit of music and so on. So the same thing when we as Christians, where we are, when we sing a song, somebody want to join? Hey, fine. You see. So then you sing among yourself, sing songs to yourself, and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. That's what we call fellowship. Edifying, whether singing song or speaking of good things, that's how it is. Psalms 132 verse 13. Psalms 132 verse 13 to 16. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, Zion again. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired for his habitation. What is Zion? Now Zion is that place that we know is in, where the city of Jerusalem was built upon. That's Mount Zion. Alright, now Jerusalem was surrounded by at least seven mountains or hills. Mountains, actually, anything that is above 1,000 feet or something is called a mountain. So Mount Zion was there. See, and it says, the Lord have chosen Zion. He have desired for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. There is the Lord said it. Huh? I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision, her supply, to sustain her. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Right? Beautiful, huh? And that psalm, that skin of it. But this is not just talking about what? A literal city? David, Moses, and all those prophets, when they sing song or they describe something about Mount Zion or about Jerusalem, they have the picture of that city. That is heavenly. That's what Paul said in the book of Hebrews regarding Abraham and Isaac. Huh? By faith, you know, how they believe in God. And they were looking for the city. They were looking for a city, not built with hands. When God called Abraham to come out from the Ur of Chaldees for Mesopotamia, for Babylon, always remember this. The journey of the saints of God, the history of the saints of God, started with a man called Abraham. When God called him out of Babylon, and remember Babylon, and always remember Babylon. Because what? Babylon literal is what Babylon is today. They trapped people in bondage and kept and keep them. And God warned Abraham to get out of that place. Have nothing to do even with his kindred. As long as they want to stay in Babylon, leave them alone. If those Christians want to stay in Babylon, leave them alone. God's message is to get them out. And Abraham came out. Right? And what was he looking for? He was looking for a city not built with hands. That's what Paul said. There's a city in the making. And that's, you know, all that which you see in the Bible, written thousands of years ago, and fulfilling in the coming of Christ, when he was a cornerstone laid by God, the Father. Huh? Read The next chapter 36, verse 8. Let's go to Psalm 36, verse 8. And 9. Psalm 36, verse 8 and 9. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. Oh, the psalms, the songs, glorifying God, saying that the same were abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and they, and thou, Lord, shall make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. So we have Zion, God's beautiful habitation. God will satisfy the poor. He will clothe her priests. And you know what a priest is, right? The one who ministers the word. I mean, talking about literal the children of Israel and their Jerusalem. But don't forget that it is also speaking of allegorically regarding the spiritual Holy City, New Jerusalem. He will clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Now, this is the picture that already they had, they are looking for it, but sad to say, it is not so. Let us go to the book of Isaiah. What has become of Jerusalem? Now, you know what? We are living in end time. Okay. You go to the book of Isaiah and chapter 2. Now, this book of Isaiah talks a lot about Israel's end time. But even as he talks about Israel's end time, he talks about the city of Jerusalem, and we know we are living in the last day. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last day. He said, in the last day. What day do you think it is? Now we're talking about the day of the Lord. Okay. Now, since we are living in the last day, do you know what's going on in Israel today? I mean, what's coming for Israel? You read in the news, right? About Donald Trump, the president of America, wanted to move his embassy to Jerusalem May the 14th. May the 14th is the day that Israel was reborn in 1948, and it will be the 70th year. What do you think is going to happen? Already there is a lot of shaking. Okay. Now, we also see that there is a problem in the north of Israel, the land of Syria. If you look at Israel, Syria, in the Bible, they are Syrian. And you also look into the history of how the Ottoman Empire came into that place. And this Ottoman Empire, you know, this Turks, my goodness. You know, if you look at the history, all this killing, the crusade, and even with the Roman crusaders. Huh? And today we have modern Ottoman Empire in play. And then we see Turkey. Now, how many of you really know what's happening over there in Syria? It's very complicated. I find it just very messy. How many nations are involved in the problem in Syria right now? There's war being fought. Last few days, there's battle being fought, and how that out of eastern Damascus, there was this destruction, and children were being killed, women were killed, innocent people were killed, right? Because of the bombing. You got a militia, you got a pro-Syrian government, you have a government soldier which U.S. is supporting, and the Turk went in also to fight. I think there are these four or five groups fighting, you know, and there are all other smaller minor groups. So everybody has their ideology. And what does the Bible say over in Isaiah chapter 17? The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. That prophecy is coming to pass. Would it be at this about this time? Some say they believe that this destruction will come in the great tribulation. Now I believe that it is coming before Christ comes. It is possible even now. Because already the fighting has been just now outside. If you study back, look into the history of the battle, it has been enough. It has been coming down, coming down, coming down towards Damascus. Would that make Damascus a ruin? And what are the people fighting over in Syria? How close we are at the end? And what do you think would happen if President Trump decided to, now, I mean, he decided, it's confirmed, they said it's confirmed, 100%. May the 14th, what do you think will happen in Israel? I said, the Bible said, watch and pray. Huh? Be filled with supplication to the Lord. Don't let your life just because, oh, I'm a Christian, that's all right. See, I want to make the rapture. Do you? And how do you make the rapture? The Bible said in the last book of Revelation, chapter 19, the wife, not the bride. Because you see, I'm not the bride of Christ now. I'm the wife. You are the wife right now. What is the difference between a bride and a wife? A bride is just a bride. Until she is consummated with the husband, she's never a wife. That's why we have a lot of scam here in Singapore. Not just scamming the government from the money, like my daughter was saying earlier. But scamming in marriage. Man and a woman and get married, but they don't live together. They may then apply for a home, and a government home, a public housing. A three-room flat, you in one, I in one, and another one for the pet. And that's all they'll do, but they never consummate. And they are never wife. They are Mr. and Mrs. Tan, Mr. and Mrs. Lim, Mrs. and Mrs. whatever. And that's it. So you see, he said that you are a bride of Christ, you are a child of Christ, you are a house of Christ, of God, whatever the picture you may want to paint. You make sure that you are a wife. The wife has made herself ready. That means the husband, not the wife. And the wife know the husband what the husband want and supplicate and submit to the husband. The word Bible talks about, like Paul, husband love your wife and wife submitted to the husband. That's where it is. That's what the Bible is talking about. Until we are make ready, we can never be caught up in the rapture. Because you see, in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, what do we have? The parable of the temple gene. Matthew 25 comes immediately after Matthew 24. And what was in Matthew 24? All the description about the coming of Christ, the great tribulation that is to come. And then the next verse in verse 25, chapter 25, verse 1. Then, the word then is pretty interesting. The Bible is telling us a chronology. Then shall the kingdom of God be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. What happened to the foolish? The wife has entered into the marriage. That's why that parable, I have detailed it. People are saying, wow. Now we understand who the wise virgin are and who the foolish virgin are. They say, oh, you know, many people are guessing. The foolish virgin are those in the denomination. No, let me tell you something. The denomination are not virgins. The Bible tells us they are tares. Right? Where does it start? Where did the tare group start? It started about 180. When the disciples all died, when the apostles all died, the original one. You read in chapter 13, you will see. The parable they are there, the seven parables, seven church ages out there. Huh? When the apostles died, all that of them men came in and sold tares in the field that belongs to Christ. And the parable of Jesus said, the servant of the husband said, so we're going to take out the tares. And the husband says, no, leave it until the end time. Until the day of the harvest. And the harvest is coming. Already here. Not what he will say. Then I will send out my angel. I will send out my messenger. I will send out my minister. And they will go out and gather the tares together for the binding. And that will be cast into a lake of fire. Tares. Right? And that's what ecumenism has been doing. Those angels, the way you these messages, God said about God, oh, he said, is it possible? Let me tell you this. The Bible tells us about false anointed one at the end time. The false Christ. How did they get anointed? Who anointed them? The devil? No. God anointed them. They're anointed. They can go out there and cast out demons. You know Jesus Christ sent out two men? The 70s. And one of them was the devil. Remember? Do you remember that? The disciples were even sent out to my God, Christ sent out the 70, two by two. And then he sent out his 12, two by two. And Judas and his crowd went out there because of demons too. He turned out to be a devil at the end time. He did. A called Bible called son of perdition. And no wonder Matthew 7. I always tell people to read Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23. And read it, I told these ministers. Because one of these days, you cause a preacher, you cause a demon, you have great crusade, thousand come to you, but you stand before Christ and say, Lord, Lord, I have done great things in your name. I have healed the sick, I have raised the dead. I cause a demon. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Wow! Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What does the word new mean here? It's the same word. A man knew his wife. It means I have no intimate knowledge with you. Do you know your Bible? All these ministers out there, many times they challenge me about what they think is right. I say, you have a lot of opinion. But come up, take your Bible. Take your Bible and let's talk about it. Remember one time Abraham was faced with the same challenge? About 300 preachers, including woman preachers. They tried to defend the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet, when meeting convened, Abraham asked them, okay, come on right here, take your Bible, and let's talk about it. Let's look into it. None of them stood up. People can always blackball preachers behind their back. But they will not face the preacher face to face. That's right. And many times I review some many of these preachers. You see, if you do not know the Bible, don't utter it. Don't say what you do not know. You know. So we need to know what we are speaking about. What we need to know what we understand. And so in chapter 25 of Matthew, the wise virgin had entered into the marriage already. Because that was a midnight cry. We know that, don't you? God is building a house. He wants to refine the house. He wants to purify the gold. And the wise virgin came out and went straight into the marriage because they have the Lamb, the filled with the Holy Spirit, their life. But the foolish, we don't think much about it. Until the fire is going out, and ask the wise for it. How could the wise give it to you? You know what? I cannot give it my way. Hey, brother, you're so selfish. Why are you so selfish? Cannot you give me some oil? How can I give you my spiritual oil? How can I give it to you? I can't. All the while, every one of us have the same opportunity to understand the word, to receive the revelation of the word. And you're understanding the filling of oil. You know, when you talk about filling oil, I don't know, sometimes you think the oil is so simple, you just take a cup and just pour water from the tap. And it's already filled so fast. But you know, when you talk about infilling of the spiritual thing, it doesn't happen overnight. If you are a Christian today,
You think tomorrow will become so spiritual, you understand everything? No. You must learn. That's what Paul said to the Corinthian church. Ha! I know you already 7 years. And you still remain a pig. I can't even talk to you spiritual things. Because for your color, you're not willing to learn. You behave like the world. Like the people in Corinth. That's right. What is your mind filled with? The Bible, Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's up here. That's what when you talk about, my son was talking to me about characters. See, Dad, how is it that I have this particular character, and there's somebody else this character, another one this particular character? Let me tell you something. God did not give you that character that you have. You're not born with such a character. That's why you know all that thing that come out of America. How that they you know, America is the leader of putting out things in the world. The food issue, the drug issue, you know, they dictate the world. And that's why in Singapore we try to keep a balance. You know, gay marriage. I'm not a man. But inside me I feel like a woman. Really? And it's true, you know, medical science said so. Yeah, that's what medical science tells you. So I can't help being a woman. The moment I forgot that there is a spirit working from young. Who do you blame? Your parents? Who do you blame when you go to school? Huh? You choose when you are young. Okay, like my grandson. He's staying with the parent. He's born. He was born, and of course, he has certain behavior already when he was born. He cries very loud. Wow, that kind of a. His character. That was his character. Bah! He cries so loud. I was told that the dog didn't help anyway. Okay, they grew up now. He likes to run around, you know. Yeah, because, you know, perhaps he'll get, okay, he has freedom to run around. But when you grow up, he's mixing with people. In school, primary school, secondary school, upwards. Your character will be moved. You have to make choices. Right? Birds of the same feather brought together. You choose. You want to mix with the bad heads. What do you think your character will be? Good heads? No. Your head that you put on will be the bad one among those flock of the same feather. Is that not true? Just like this. All the birds gathered together and they gossiped. And the eagle came and fly them and thought maybe he'd like to socialize with them a little bit. But when he heard all this parrot, everybody's talking to him, and he said, I'm not a parrot, let me get out of here. And the eagle flew up. Are you an eagle or a parrot or these miners or this, you know, a lot of birds that talks a lot of things? What are you? The character is what you choose to be. You cannot say, oh, I'm gay, I'm born like this. I want to have, I'm a man, I want to marry a man. I'm a woman, I want to marry a woman. Or I'm a man, I want to marry to a pig. That's why you got this theory in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, is that true? And then suddenly, those things that get up from America, pass on and all this rubbish coming over. Let me say it. He said, I cannot help it being a homosexual. Really? It's involved in me. Really? Then I go and kill somebody. I cannot help it because it's involved in me. I'm born a murderer. I'm born a pedophile. Really? You have a choice to make when you grow up. That's what I told my son when he was in second primary school, secondary school. I said, you choose your friend, choose wisely. Every one of us has a choice. So what is the thing your character will be? So when we look into this last day, the day of the Lord here, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2.
So if you're wise virgin, let us get ready. Huh? Alright, chapter 2 of Isaiah. Now we know that this is the last day. Now this whole chapter, or the whole book of Isaiah, practically prophesies about the end time. In the last day, in the day of the Lord, and so on. Okay? And we're not going to read chapter 2, but I want to read chapter 3 to chapter 4. But I want you to notice this, that it's about Jerusalem. And remember the allegory, that the figure of speech, the portrayal or the picture that God painted. Alright? And what's happened to natural Israel is happening to spiritual Israel, which is the church. Right? You know, when I preached this one time back many years ago, I talked about spiritual Israel. One preacher told me, there's no such thing as spiritual Israel. I said, of course there's no such thing as a spiritual Israel in the sense that you're looking at it, but I'm talking about the type and the shadow. What does the tabernacle of Moses depict? Huh? The mystery of Christ and the body of Christ, right? Oh, there's no such thing as a spiritual tabernacle of Moses. Hey, we are the spiritual tabernacle of Moses. It's the mystery of Christ, ministry of Christ in the body. And whole tabernacle shows the ministry of Christ and the church. If you don't know type and shadow, that means you don't know your Bible. That's why the Bible is full of types and shadows. Allegories, figure of speech. That's what makes the Bible so interesting. That's, you know, why Jesus spoke in parables. So that the people out there were going to scratch their head, they're confounded. But those people who believe in Christ will not be confounded. How beautiful is the 7 parables in the book of Matthew chapter 13. How many people in the denomination know what was in chapter 13 of Matthew? That depicts the 7 church ages. Beautiful. Yes. That's, you know, why the Bible is so mysterious. I get excited when I see something. God just unfolding it and makes us understand. That is not why the Spirit guides us into all truths. And to them out there, as Jesus told the disciples, they hear it, they hear not. I speak to them in parables. But to you it is made known, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Chapter 3 now. For behold, the Lord of hosts, do take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, and the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. Now that is when, this is a prophecy now, this is not just a prophecy, but Isaiah the prophet stood and rebuilt the whole of Judah, and the whole of the city of Jerusalem. But remember, this is also speaking to us. I will take away the stay of and the staff. I will take away the sustenance, I will take away the support from among you. There will be no water of life given you. There will be no bread of life given you. I will take it away. No wonder in the book of Revelation, the 4 horsemen. What's the first one? The white horse. Second one? What? The red horse. The fourth one? The black horse. Why is the black horse? Famine of the word of God. Yes. God allowed Antichrist to do his dirty job. And you have Antichrist since the day that the tear was sown. Sown. In AD, for around 100 AD. And who started it? It became a Nicolaitan spirit, it then became a doctrine of the Nicolaitan, and then they set up, you know, the archbishop among the bishop, later the cardinal and the monsignor, and then you're the pope. And they control the whole of Europe. And God sent the reformers to reform the whole thing and come out with just one doctrine that's important: the just shall live by faith. Then come on in the next one, because they, many of them, they built walls around the doctrines that were given them. And God had to send another man called John Wesley and sanctification came. But in between there are others, of course, water baptism and all these things, God revealed it. But once it, people lock into tradition, it dies. Until the 20th century, God sent the Holy Spirit down. Now you've got to read the book about 20th century, the beginning of the Pentecostal movement. Within the last 10 years, what happened? Everybody wants to be somebody. So you get an organization. And God raised up a man called William Branham and said, come out of all that rubbish. Come out of all that darkness. And don't be trapped. And God is building, and He's become all those stones and building it up. But He cannot build it in Babylon. Abraham, get out. I'll show you the land. I'll give it to your people, your seed. That's right. And I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Israel was a nation for God. And so are we, a holy nation for God. You see the natural and the spiritual? Verse 2. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the wise, and the ancient old man. What will happen to them? The mighty man of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artifactor, and the eloquent orator. I will give children to be their princes, and the babe shall rule over them. Oh yeah, that's true. Look at the churches today. Look at all the mighty preachers and all this. Oh, look at Billy Graham. Well, he's gone. You know? He's considered the greatest evangelist and the greatest preacher in the world. I think the whole world missed the great prophet that God sent. People want big things, you know. Billy Graham was thrust into the world because he was an eloquent speaker. Educated. Right? I mean, if you take Paul, if Paul was speaking as a disciple of Christ and trained among with people like Matthew, huh, or Bartholomew, or Peter, and I think Paul would be a great orator. Yeah, that's why people are looking to speech. Abraham, my goodness, he's terrible English. And people can tell me, say, you claim that to be a prophet speaking like this? Huh. That's why God chose the preaching to be a foolishness to the world. You know why God don't have to choose the big thing? You think that God need to choose one with a PhD, THD? Who got all the A++ in all subjects, especially in, wow, language, grammar, perfect. God chose people like Peter. I don't know whether Peter go to any school. Probably all he know, he was raised up a fisherman and know how to catch big fish, small fish. And he can even tell where the fish would be. Because that was his education. When it comes to speech, no, nothing. Because he was a great fisherman. That's why he was boisterous. He's always known as a big guy and always speaks. But his language is not eloquent. And Paul said, I come to you, you may think that I come to you with the eloquent speed. Now, those things are dumb. I was once a Pharisee, a Benjamite, and so on. Well, what is that? Huh? That's true, isn't it? Men look for greatness, but God look for smallness in people. And I will give children to be, and that's what we have in some country, children pastors. And even children trying to tell the pastor what to preach. Anybody else seen what's going on in the Philippines? I mean, when people get into all this nonsense, God will move away and God allows what you want in your heart. Because if you don't want to hear the word of God, this is what you will get. And the people, verse 3, and the people shall be oppressed. Everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor, and a child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. And that's a lot of disrespect for people. Remember, as we know, honor those who are in power. Huh? Honor your parent, honor your superior. Years ago, I remember when people give me no respect. Because they think that I was young then. I was in my 30s, in my 40s. And they call me Richard. Huh. You know, I said, you better call me Brother Gann or Brother Richard. Show no respect. Now, how terrible it really is. When a person is a minister, you know, you don't call a person like that unless you are my brother, my own sister, brother, sister. You know. Don't behave like
The standard the Americans are even calling children. When I was there, my children calling their uncle by name. Wow. And even some call their father by name too, I heard. You know, how terrible that really is. But that's not the society of the Asian. Middle East is Asian. The Bible is Asian. Middle Eastern is never Middle Western. It's Middle East. That's why everything they depict here can be seen. Very ancient. Very Eastern. When Japanese people move out to Europe, everything changed. The lifestyle changed. But here, Asia still remains influenced by the scriptures of old. When a man, verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of the father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let the ruin be under thy hand. Oh, this is of course the because they're poor, because God has stopped helping them. They'll go and look for those who are rich. Come on, you help us, you rule over us. And there are people looking for rich people to be their pastor. That's common too. Huh? Okay. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer. For in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen. Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. The shore of their countenance do witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. That's why in the book of Revelation says the same thing. Jerusalem has become like Sodom and Egypt. Not Gomorrah. Sodom and Egypt. Why Sodom? What Sodom means? Sodom is a word where you have male, male, female, I mean, male and male, female, female, male and animals and things like that, that's fornication. And that's why Jerusalem has been like this. The church has been like this. The church has become Sodom. Jerusalem has become Egypt bondage because the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Huh? A sinner Sodom. They had it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have reward even unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that ye shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. Verse 10 says, say to the righteous, that ye shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. That's right. People think they're so righteous. Oh, righteous people. So righteousness. You know, I feel sometimes, I feel sorry for that man who was a whistleblower for CHC and tried to escape out of Singapore and, you know, and he should actually serve a sentence. But the people who are responsible, as far as I'm concerned, is the pastor. If I lead a few of you together to manipulate whatever scam, right? I'm the one responsible. That's right. I will be the one that will take the responsibility. Not that what happened to a church here in Singapore. We were so afraid. And he told the congregation, the government steps in, I'll tell them, you are not my people. Unbelievable. The shepherd must shepherd and protect the sheep. Not run away. Not one way. Unless the shepherd is smite and killed, then the sheep has nowhere to go. They will run, they will scatter. Verse 11, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill through for him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for people, when you are wicked, when you have conniving, when you are evil in your heart, my goodness, you're going to get what you do, what you sow, you will reap. As for my people, children are their oppressor, and women rule over them. No. Women rule over them. Have you heard it? Have you got woman preacher in the churches today? Woman tell you what to do. Worship woman. Wow, make the woman, the wife, a pop star. What has got to do with the church? You see how the church is corrupt? How? Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem is so corrupt today. Huh? All these are the warning, but we think God is going to take out. That's the reason why you've got to come out of all this
church, the church of God, the bride of Christ, whatever you want to call it. You know? See, all my people, that which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy path. Who is going to lead you into spiritual path? You want a man who is out there, who have no revelation, who are taught by tradition, going to lead you? That's why I said, don't waste my time. You know, brother sent me, you know, on YouTube, you know, it's on YouTube and whatever is on the internet. Especially, there's a lot of video taken of Pentecostal churches, many churches, preacher, I mean, big meetings, and you have how they heal the sick, how they cast out demons. Many of them, you have to take it with a whole lot of salt. Not just a pinch of salt. A brother recently sent me a video. And here was a was an African church. The mother came with the child. The child is crying. And they came up and told the pastor, the child is not going to walk, he cannot walk, whatever. And the child is crying. It was about a year and a half year old kid. And the pastor said, pray for him. I command you to walk, whatever he's talking about, he command him. They said, put that child down. So they put that child down, the child sitting on the floor and trying temper tantrum. Ah, obviously, what do you think so? Whatever it is, I look at it, I said, this whole thing is a scam. Command you to walk. In the name of Jesus, I command you to walk. Nothing happened. Of course, this was just a show. The preacher said, tell the mother, go over that side. So what do you think is going to happen? I command you to walk, because the mother is not a baby, get up and walk. You can't see that truth. I have seen enough of this scam. That's the word. These are lying spirits. Workers of iniquity. That's what Jesus said. I never knew you. You know what the sin of iniquity is? If you do not know, read my book, The Sin of Adam. What had he committed? This is one sin God hated the most. And it's a sin God said that it will pass on to the fourth generation. And that's what Abraham committed. But when it comes to spiritual thing, against the word of God, that sin of iniquity is hard to forgive. You know that? Because sin and iniquity is unfair to the other party. You're preaching a gospel that is not true. That you only hold the people because you want something out of them. And they believe in you. And they believe a lie. That's a sin of iniquity. That's what Abraham did to his wife Sarah. Tell the Pharaoh, tell Amalek that you are my sister and I'm your brother, in case he killed me. So what happened if the Pharaoh married Sarah? Sarah would have two husbands. Right? There will be the sin of iniquity. Put her in the space that is unfair to her. I wonder how many people know about sin of iniquity. Alright, let's continue. Verse 13, the Lord stand up to plead and stand up to judge the people. The Lord shall enter into judgment with the ancient of his people and the princes thereof, for you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your house. Right, God is going to judge all this ancient, this wise, well, big preachers, senior people, they're so smart, and so on. Huh? The princess means the one who's in charge too. What did they do? What did the Bible say? You have eaten up the vineyard. You have collected all the money. It's all in your house. Did you feed the people? Did you feed the people? I want to stand before God and say, Father, I've done my best. That's what I was saying to my father. And he will judge whether I have fed you. I have fed all those out there who are my responsibilities. What mean you? You beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, said the Lord of hosts. Wow, how many millions of dollars are in the coffers of many of these charismatic preachers? Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, behold, the daughters of Zion are haughty. Now, the Bible, when you talk about Jerusalem, you know it's always a woman. It always is a woman. And actually, here you look at it, it's true. The daughter of Zion are haughty, are proud, walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eye, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tingling with their feet. You know, many charismatic preachers and their wives, and many times they are, and those who go to church, the women always dress so nice with a lot of necklaces, a lot of earrings, a lot of high heel shoe walking. And it mixing as they walk, you know, how when you walk with high heel, you know what it is like. I mean, natural walk, gotta make your foot, your feet, to touch the floor like that. Not lift it up like that. So, of course, you walk, you know, and you walk with the mixing. You know how those can walk? Very sexy, huh? You know how they can walk is that? No natural people walk like that. The people who design fashion know that this will attract the eyes of men to buy for their wife, and the fashion wanted to order this to buy themselves. Walking like this. I mean, nobody walks like that, right? Do you? You put one foot in front of the other? I don't even anyone walks like this. Cross each other. Mincing as they go. In those days, they put bangles, those little bells, what do you call it? Bracelet thing, or you call it bangles around the feet. I think the Indian have it. Even the Chinese have it for baby. You know, they put on baby so that they know where the baby, you know, you can hear the sound. I also always remember in my, while I worked in Woodbridge Hospital, there was a lady doctor, and she was a senior registrar. And she would go to visit the ward every week. And she would wear this. She had this little bell bracelet on her feet, ankle. And every time she walked the corridor up there, the patient would hear it and say, oh, Xiao Doctor Lalo. And I was thinking, what? The patient was making fun. And we all heard it from where we are, because they are out there in the field, and the corridor was outside there, and we were in the water. They heard, Xiao Doctor Lalo. It means that doctor's coming. And this says, ladies, is a psychiatrist. It kind of funny. And she really behaved like a child. Means that she go, wow. Well, the Bible describes true for us even in church. Therefore the Lord shall smite with the scab, the crown of the head for the daughter. You see, they shall smite the head. Because you know why the scab of the head? What's on your head? What's on your head? Lice? What's on your head? Your hair. The Bible said the woman must have long hair and the man must have short hair. And the crown of the woman is actually the crown which her hair is given for a crown of glory. And this woman now, what happened to this woman? What does it say? Well, let's go and see what it says. Therefore the Lord shall smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughter of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret part. This means their sexual part. It means expose her sin. Now, we know that you won't tell, you know, only on YouTube a lot of women preachers. They all dress nicely with all their pin up. And God hates those things. Because that thing is Babylon. Huh? You know, and it's how true that everything is a cover up. You know, makeup. You know what makeup is? Right? Makeup is, you make it look good, beautiful. But it's piled up in mud. We call it mud, clay. Because that's what cosmetic, why is it called cosmetic? It came from the word cosmo. Cosmo means of this inhabited world. Not of the earth, but of this inhabited world means a system man-made. That's what the Bible tells us, that the Kenite people are very, the women are very beautiful. And they're fair to look at. Why? Because they use jamu. They use herb of the field. They use clay of the field, the dirt. And they be able to make all those chemicals and make themselves look very beautiful. Wow, right. All this makeup. You see, you're born into this world with nothing. In the world, you're going off with nothing. You're not going to carry with you gold bar, gold necklaces, gold ring, gold bracelet. You're not going to go off with that. Everybody want to look beautiful? I know that. No problem if you want to make something look beautiful. But be natural. Max Factor came out with all this product. Like I remember one time, I already told you many times, I guess. The Times magazine. When they feature Max Factor product, they have a picture of a woman on the outside. Beautiful, with all the makeup. Then the article was inside. Then they showed the article. Again, they repeat the same woman's face. Then say, turn the page and see the actual woman. You turn the page, the woman you see on the cover is not the same woman. Actually, it's the same woman, but not the same woman. Because the woman was very plain. Makeup make her look so beautiful. Wow, you want a man or a woman, a lot of makeup? I mean, you want a dead woman, a whole lot of makeup beautiful? The night when you were in the nuclear chamber, you will scream. That's why I said, you will scream because, this is not the one I married. Yeah, I mean, this is very true. And that's a lot of money in cosmetic. Always been. I came into this world as ugly as I am. I will go off as ugly as I will be. When you come into the world beautiful, you'll go back to this, leave this world not beautiful. You leave this world ugly. Because why? When we grow old, we all have a lot of wrinkles. We all look the same. We are all the same. Rich or poor, when you go old, everyone are the same. Right? You have a scar with two holes in it here for the eyes, an ulcer, and any jaw you cut up with the teeth. That's about what you look like. And all that skeleton, that's what you look like. That's right. There is Paul said, there's nothing good, the Bible tells, there's nothing good in this body. It's corrupt. It must go back to the dust. But what is inside you is you that God is dealing with. Because see, when you go to the heaven, when you put on a spiritual body, do you think you have makeup? No. No. Do you have necklace to wear? Gold rings to put on? Bracelets to put on? No, you don't have all these things. And that's why God is against the children of Jerusalem. You know why? Because then they are copying the things of the world. Exactly. Why did the children of Seth marry the daughters of the Kenite? Because they were fair to look at. Because their own woman, the Sathite woman, they are just plain Jane. That's what Satan is able to manipulate. Always think that any attraction in this world that looks beautiful is the work of the devil. That's why Satan was able to manipulate this woman of the Canaanite to make them so look beautiful to attract the men from the other side and have them intermarry and produce the giants. And then we have problems in the world. That's why with all these genetic changes and born a dwarf, born a giant, born with some defect, God did not make us that. And like I said, Brother Luke, do you think that God made you to be an Indian, born to the family of your father Joseph and brother or sister Eunice? Answer the question wisely. Do you think God made you to be the son of brother Joseph and sister Eunice? How what about you, Jonah? Do you think that God made you to be like this, that you will be the son of brother Jimmy and sister Jackie? You see what it is? What about you, brother Eno? Huh? How about you, Elsa? Huh? What about you, Anna? No. God did not make you to be the son of them. You happen to be born the son of them. I want to let you know. I'm not born a Chinese because God wanted me a Chinese to be born into a Chinese family. No. Puzzling? Confounding? No. Just think about the beginning. When they were only at the seeds. Right? And all you have to be, who was the God, says, be fruitful and multiply. That's it. You don't know where you're going to come out from. And that's what you should thank God that you are not born in Somalia or Yemen or one of those places or even born into a Muslim family. You know? Because all this is random. There's a pair of God. more blah blah. They ask me, what kind? I don't know. Neither an Alsatian, neither a Pekingese, neither a Chihuahua, neither a Dachshund. Just one pet. I don't know how I look like. Well, when they began to breed and migrate, what happened to them? The place where they eat, the soil where they eat, the food where they eat, over time in the fourth generation, they change. We are able to adapt. God created animal, created us to adapt. God knows what is going to happen to this earth after the days of Noah. And God knows what's going to happen because of the weather and the environment changes. Why are the African? Did God make African? No. The African, when you hear me say, oh, what, God didn't make us African. God didn't make Chinese. God did not make the Israelite. Do you understand? Because there was no Israel, there was no Chinese, there was no Africa to begin with. So where did that come from? It's because our gene. In it, in the chromosome, in the DNA, in the gene, there is always the code. So when that code mixes with another code and it fuses together, it changes. And when you eat a certain thing, it changes. Why are the Africans have thick lips and kinky hair? Why did the Japanese people eyes have blue colors and blonde hair? And how the Shamanic people, they always remain the same. Black hair, dark brown hair, black eyes, dark brown eyes, and that's all that they get. And the skin is always pinky, golden or brownish color looking. Where did the Indian come from? Where did the Chinese come from? Why are we yellow? Why are the red Indian in Colorado red? Because of the red earth. Why are the Chinese yellow in look? Because of Wang Ho River, the Yellow River. When you eat a lot of cassava, you eat a lot, the fourth generation, you will change. Believe me. Don't believe me. Test if there is another fourth generation for you to go. If a Chinese man and a Chinese woman, pure Chinese from China, marry and live in Africa. And when if there are other Chinese living the same, they intermarry. For fourth generation, the son of children will start to change because of the chemicals of the earth. That's what the Bible says. We are wonderful and beautifully made. The body is able to adapt. Now, how many of you love to go to cold country? Very cold country. You like to go there? Siberia? You want to live in Alaska or Canada or somewhere up there where it's cold? Me, I'll be dead. Because my body cannot adapt overnight like that. It takes a long time to adapt, to adapt to it. Look at my grandson when he came back here, when he runs a bit, he got pinky, right? Right? Let him be around here for another year or two. That will disappear. Is that? The weather, the environment will cause it. That's how beautiful our body is. Let us go and hurry up now. Verse 18. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery. Oh, the word bravery is very strange. It means the glory. Alright? The glory or the beauty. Everything that is supposed to be a show, it's a show of something that you people can see, alright? All their tinkling ornament about their feet and their calf. The calf means the hairdo. You know how those ladies wear this hairdo thing? And their round tire means the round chain like the moon. And that's one problem, they look like the moon. You know what? Strange is enough, huh? And the moon is always, even those that really have the crescent. And you know that is a religion symbol also as well. And in those days, the Babylon, they worship the moon, the sun, the animal, the cow, whatever. As well as it is today in India. They mixed up. And the chains and the bracelet and the muffler, which is the veil. The bonnet and the ornaments of the leg and the hairbands and the tablet, which is the charm and the earring. A lot of people wear charm. I believe that Christians do not wear charm. I hope they don't wear. A lot of people, you know, this woman in Jerusalem, those days they do. But I believe that there are also some Christians believe that there are certain charm. What what day is today? Oh, today is Sunday. What zodiac are you born in? I'm born in the year of the pig. Oh, so today is Sunday, the year of the pig, you cannot wear black. Have you ever heard of those things? Yeah. Certain day you wear a certain stone. No. Things like that. People have all that belief. Some people are still in horoscope thing. The ring and the nose ring. This ring here is not ring as in a marriage ring. This ring is the signal ring. People, you know, I ever see women wear a lot of rings to show off? Even men, huh? You ever see men wear a lot of rings? These are all their show off things. They're talking about the haughtiness of the woman. Alright. The changeable suit of apparel and the mantle and the wimple, which is the head cloth, and the crisping pin, which are the purse. Means that here God is describing, or Isaiah describing, how this woman of Jerusalem is so haughty, so proud, and the way they dress, and they don't think much about the inside. And the glasses. The glasses, what they're doing, 23 is the mirror. But in those days, they don't have the mirror that we have. Okay? It's a looking glass. But the looking glass, we think about glass means as a glass. No. It's actually a metal they polish to so that they could see themselves. Looking, the mirror that we have today is only invented in the 19th century, early 19th century. Somewhere around there. Or maybe in the middle of 19th century. Okay? And the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be sting. Right? If God look upon it as sting. Instead of a girdle, I mean the proper girdle around the waist the woman used to have in those days, it would be just a plain rope. And instead of well-set hair, it would be bald hair, baldness. And instead of stomacher, which is a fine linen, okay, a girding of sackcloth would be given them. And a burning instead of beauty. Thy man shall fall by the sword and the mighty in the war. Now, because of what's going on in the church. Even men will fall. You know, have you heard about people going to church to look for girlfriend, boyfriend? Yeah. Years ago when I worked in hospital, I used to witness to people. And one of them tell me, well, you're a father gun. You know what? I want to tell you, I go to church too, you know. I go to Novena. You know what I go there for? I look for girls. They are beautiful girls, they dress very nice. Sure. They wear mini skirts, sexy in their leg. Yeah. The pale face, oh, so beautiful. He was telling me this thing, which apparently is the truth. What do you go out to see in the church? Do you go out to see crying, or do you see what? Looking for a boy and a girlfriend? And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Yeah, the gates shall lament, because there are no more activities in the church. No true movement alive in the church. The gate is where activities are performed in those days in the city of Jerusalem. There's no more true activities. And she would just cry. And in that day, several women shall take hold of one man, saying, we shall eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day. What day? Our day. This is the last day. The day of the Lord's death is coming. We're already here. In that day, several women, seven church ages, some women to take hold of one man, let us be called by, you know, thy name. We will wear our own apparel. Yeah, the Methodist, the church, the woman church, Methodist, Baptist, all churches are represented by women. We wear our own apparel. We wear the apparel of the Methodist, we wear the apparel of the Baptist, that means what we believe. What we believe is what you wear. But let us be called by thy name. Oh, Lord, there's one man. I would want to be called by thy name. Jesus, we want you to be our man. We want to be called by your name, that we are Christian. But we want to wear our own apparel. God forbids. But this is what's happening. You can never call yourself a Christian when you are a Baptist. You cannot be called a Christian if you are a Presbyterian. You cannot be a believer if you are a Brahman. You are a believer because you are born of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are called a Christian. You are not identified by any other name except a child of God, a saint of God. Let us quickly finish all this. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and gracious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely, for then that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, the remnant, there will be a remnant for the children of Israel. And the same thing will be the remnant of the true believer in the church of the world of God, in the world as it is called in Christendom today. And he that remain in Jerusalem shall be called holy, everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the, you see, Jerusalem is dead. But among the living that is written in the name of in Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written in the holy city, New Jerusalem? Because if you are, because you are a house, you are a mansion, you already have a name, you have a place in God's abode. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, and it will be, many of them will go through the tribulation. And the Lord shall create, will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon an assembly, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a kippah. A defense, a kippah. Remember that message I wrote? Right. The kippah. And there shall be a tabernacle for the shadow in the daytime, from the heat for the place of refuge, and for the comfort from storm and from rain. And if you want to have salvation, get out of the city of Jerusalem that is today, and get into the true holy city, Jerusalem. If your name is written in the book of life, you are the one that remains. The one that is living. Not the one that is dead in the city of Jerusalem. Oh, the city of Jerusalem is big. Let's look at the churches. Everywhere is big. The Christian world, Christianity, Christendom is big. But many in there are dead. Because many do not really have the book, their name in the book of life. They are not the living one in the city of Jerusalem. Are you a living one in the city of Jerusalem? I pray you are. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace, O Lord. Thank you for thy word. I pray, Father, Lord, that you take the word further and break it down to the hearts of all those that hear, even those on video and audio, Lord. And may they understand, Father, the hour that we live in, that we need to get closer to you, and to check our life, be watchful and prayerful, and filled with supplication until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make ourselves ready. We ask for your grace upon each and every one of us, Lord, and ask that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.